to obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, wow. Hey, thanks. Lots of toys. So I just want to remind us in Hebrews chapter 11, which is our class verse, Hebrews 11:39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I can't tell you how those words are an encouragement to us. This is not so much a study of godly men and women. It's a study of what God is doing through these men and women for our example. It's a study of like the Acts of the Apostles is so often called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And it's a much better perspective. This is the second of an introduction, and I want to go through a little bit of historical timeline and historical background because we have lots and lots of folks that we have in our study. And we have so many, I want to try to, if you still have your notes, it looks like this, your orange sheet, because orange is one of my favorite colors, so I use it as often as I can. But these guys will fit, you'll see them fit in this timeline. And so it's a long timeline because it has to cover 2100 year periods in order to get from 0 to 2000. And so I'm just going to go through this quickly so that you can start to get a context. Because if you're like me, I don't know anything about early church history. Some of you may have gone to Bible colleges. You may have had early church history. Some of you may not have. I went to a Bible college and still didn't have early church history. And it's significant because it's a real weakness. And so often we end up looking at the material and then, like the old song goes, don't know much about the Middle Ages, look at the pictures and turn the pages. Remember that song? Is that who it is? I don't know. They had great harmony, but all I remember is that line, right? Okay, so here we go. I want you to put your thinking caps on and let's think about where these folks are coming from. If you have your notes, you can kind of see some of these guys show up. I think I need to go this way. All right, so here's the list. Pardon? Okay, so here's the 20 things we got to get through. All right, ready? One to 100, Christ is born, and Christ lives, and he dies, and he's resurrected. He begins his public ministry. He's crucified, resurrected to more than 500 disciples, and he gives the Great Commission, and he ascends up into heaven. This is a historical timeline. Remember, we looked at last week that this account of Christ is historically validated outside of the Scripture. We don't need that, but we have it. And so the first person we're going to look at this morning, Clement of Rome, is born in AD 30. So he's born right as Christ's ministry is finishing up. And he's kind of marinating in that late half of the first century. Pentecost. Stephen, from the first couple chapters in Acts. I love Stephen. What a godly Christian example he is. Paul becomes converted and begins his missionary activities. and writes 13 letters to the churches, most of our New Testament. The conversion of Cornelius, the followers are called Christians. Christians are persecuted under King Herod Agrippa. So all this is biblical. We're all in the Bible still. Am I in your way? Famine strikes Judea, Christians in Antioch. Council of Jerusalem. The council agrees with Paul that Gentile converts are not required to follow Jewish law. Paul's work with Gentiles is recognized. Something I want you to remember, broad scope, ideas matter. You ever heard that statement? Ideas matter. You are living with a certain set of presuppositions today that you probably question rarely, and they're given to you. You absorbed them like you catch a cold. It's like, you know, in fact, I don't know, is Kimberly here? Hi, Kimberly. For a long time in our marriage, she would, anytime a bug would enter our home, she'd try to backtrack and figure out where the bug came from. Your family ever tried to do this? Like, I had to come somewhere. And I would never do that because I just never did. I don't know why. I figured it was pointless. And so I had no idea where the bug came from. But we catch these things, and how much these ideas matter, these heresies that have come down to us, and the truth of the Word of God has come down to us across the ages. Paul's expelled from Rome, and I know I'm going quickly because I have a lot to get through, but I'm trying to create an environment, not necessarily to get to a, there's no quiz at the end. 64, the great fire in Rome, it's blamed on Christians. Nero tortures and kills thousands of Christians. Peter and Paul taken to Rome. Here's a picture of the martyrdom of Peter. He's being crucified upside down because of his choice not to be crucified like his Savior. They are executed under Nero. The Jewish revolts against the Romans. Antioch becomes the center for Christianity and the diaspora. The Jews and Christians flee to all parts of the empire. All right, the Colosseum is built. And Christians are thrown to the lions there as one of the sports in the Colosseum. The Roman persecution of Christians under Domitian, and the Jews oust followers of Jesus from the synagogues. You've got Barnabas then, Clement of Rome, Ignatius, and Polycarp, all folks that we'll look at. Clement of Rome this morning. The rise of the Gnostic heresies within the church. So now you have people saying things that are against the Word of God. They deny Jesus' humanity, Doceticism, and some claim to have secret knowledge beyond divine revelation and faith. That idea right there is what drives so much of the people of faith today. They have some secret knowledge, some little inculcation of the elect, of those that are that are in the higher levels of understanding. Think Scientology, think Mormonism, think the Masons, think all forms of religious and non-religious structures. Death of John, only one of the 12 disciples to die a natural death, all others are martyred. Christianity spreads to these locations. Then the Gospels are written in the last half of the century. Martyrdom of Ignatius of Antioch. Gnosticism spreads. The second Jewish rebellion, Jerusalem is destroyed. Most of the population dies or flees. Marcion, excommunicated for heresy, but his heresy persists. No connection between the Old and the New Testament. No connection between God of the Jews and God of the Christians. Rejection of the Old Testament. Even today, a lot of our churches really don't spend any time with the Old Testament. I'm not saying they reject it, but Justin Martyr, theologian, wrote his apology, rebuttal to the Greek philosophers. Polycarp is burned at the stake at age 86. I can't wait to get to him. He is interesting. He's an awesome, awesome example. Montanism sounded to me like John Denver or something, but it's not. I don't know this fellow, but oops. Irenaeus of Lyon, student of Polycarp, write against heresies. That book, if you read that book, you will be up to speed on all the modern heresies. I mean, it's exactly just regurgitated stuff. Roman persecution under Severus, Easter controversy concerning the day to celebrate Christ's resurrection, the Western Christians, which are those that are in kind of Europe and the Eastern, which is more of the Russian and Greek, prefer with the Jewish Passover, so you've got this controversy. Christianity sweeps. Tertullian writes, there's no nation indeed which is not Christian, which of course is not true, but the church recognizes the 23 New Testament books. You have the Apostles' Creed. The scriptures are translated. Christians expands to north and south and east. West. Christians in Egypt are viciously persecuted. Thousands are martyred. Clement of Alexandria, not to be confused with Clement of Rome, which I was confused earlier, and now I'm not confused. He passes away. Origen, theologian and student of Clement. So some of what we know about Clement of Rome is actually Origen's material. Roman persecution under several emperors. We're just into the 200s, so I'm going to keep going. Manichaeism originates in Persia. Dualistic heresy denies the humanity of Christ, which is what many of the modern cults do as well. First church buildings elected as rectangular-shaped basilicas. Previously, they were in homes. Mass conversion of Armenia under Gregory. Diocletian divides the Roman Empire east and west. Some Christians refuse military service or are executed. The phrase Catholic is first used to mean all churches that agree with the apostolic teaching. Monasticism begins in Egypt. Christianity expands. Violent persecutions under Diocletian. Scriptures are burned. We're in the 300s now. Constantine sees a vision of the cross, decides that he's going to become a Christian, and leads the country into Christian. But in the East, he still persecutes Christians, so it's kind of a problem. Arius claims that Christ is a created being and not God. Where have we seen that before? A couple hundred years before, right? But his beliefs become Arianism. Council of Nicaea is convened. It condemns Arianism and produces an early vision, version of the Nicene Creed, a division of definition of the Trinity. Constantine establishes his capital in Constantinople. I would have loved to live in Constantinople because I simply love to say that name. Constantine baptized a few days before, severe persecution in Russia. Death of, I don't know this fellow. Eastern Church is mostly Arian. Arianism spreads to the Goths. Emperor Julian the Apostate. So you'll see Julian the Apostate in your list, and we're studying him because he is a bad example. He was an example of someone who did become, he was a Christian early on, and then he went back and had a position of power in the Roman political structure, and then he basically recanted and sought hard to reinstate all of the temples of the Roman Empire, the old cult temples. You have the canon being recognized, invasions of the Roman Empire, the Council of Constantinople, further clarification on heresies. Expansions, Augustine. So Augustine is someone that we'll look at. 400s, right? I bet you haven't thought about the 400s this year, right? Probably not even between 100 to 400 or 100 to 1,000. So this is a little... Jerome finishes translating the Old Testament into Latin. 23 years of work. Young people, better get started. Council of Ephesus condemns Nestorianism and Pelagianism. Patrick, there's several evangelists that we'll get to, and there's some that are real minor, but they're actually very influential in influencing some of the northern countries. We don't cover Patrick, but I'd like to. Leo the Great becomes Pope. Council of Chalcedon focuses on the divine and human natures. So So you're going to start to get in this language where you had the early church, and then you had that word Catholic start to get established, right? And now you're going to have some of these people be called Pope. Clement, if you were to ask a Catholic who Clement of Rome is, they would say he is Pope Clement the First. Exactly right. The Lutherans claim him, the Anglicans claim him, the Russians claim him, both the Greek and the West Catholic churches claim him, Greek Orthodox Church and the Roman Catholic Church claim him. Everybody claims him since he's now dead, and you know, the victors write history. So, the Coptics of Egypt and Ethiopia divide. Fall. Oh, that's probably important. Fall of the Western Roman Empire marks the beginning of the Middle Ages. Whew, we made it to the Middle Ages. I don't know who Clovis is. By the end of this century, the scriptures are translated. Christianity spreads. Finally made it to the Isle of Man, which Drew knows about. Syrian Orthodox Church established a monastic monastery, and you have monasteries. Christianity spreads through the Middle East, including the Arabian Peninsula. We don't cover these guys. Council of Constantinople, convened by Justinian, condemns the three chapters for heresies. Oops. Pope Gregory, he gave up his position and donated his wealth to the church. So, I don't know that we cover him or not. I don't think so. No. So, Gregorian chants, those of you who love old choir music. Now you're up to speed. All right. Here comes Islam. 600s. So Muhammad declares himself to be prophet of God. Never mind that Jesus said he was the last. Founds Islam and his teachings and based on the Quran. He's persecuted, flees to Medina, establishes a Muslim community there, and then he launches a military campaign against Mecca, retakes Mecca. He dies in 1632, and Islam invades Egypt and North Africa. And for a lot of the Middle Ages, you're going to have Islam kind of sweeping into the Eastern European, and you're going to have the Crusades sweeping back. And it's going to be this pace. And they're all going to do it in the name of God, both sides. However, God is on his own throne. Synod of Wit, I don't know who this guy is. Translations and paraphrases, portions of the Bible. What I'd like you to think about here when you see some of this early translation work, we always elevate Tyndale. Tyndale is amazing. But the Reformers had pre-Reformers, and the pre-Reformers had pre-Reformers of the pre-Reformers, right? And so you've got this faithfulness of God throughout the ages to prepare and keep his truth in place. The Eastern and Western churches drift further apart. They've got differences in theology. They've got differences in headship. They've a whole bunch of things. And this is the Greek Orthodox Church versus the Roman Catholic Church at this point. So the Muslims build the Dome of the Rock. I didn't realize it was that old. Around 700. Old. By the end of the century, Christianity goes to China. And it declines in northern Africa, which is where Augustine was. The Moors invade Spain and Portugal, and then they're driven out 500 years later. Apostle to the Germans, again, translation work. So now we start talking about icons. Some support it, some condemn it, and then some endorse it, and then they condemn it after the fact. See how much is motivated by religion. We fancy ourselves as less religious in our present day, and who would possibly do this? But make no mistake, everybody does everything because of religion. Just because you say it's not a religion doesn't mean anything. The religion of humanism drives us today, drives the culture today, both Western and United States, all Western cultures, and most of Eastern cultures, but we just don't call it that. Charlemagne expands his empire. Council of Nicaea, condemns iconoclasm and adoptionism, the belief that Jesus was not the Son of God by nature. You can see this cycling over and over. By the end, Christianity spreads to Iceland, Pakistan, East Germany. All right, Charlemagne is crowned Roman Emperor by Pope Leo. So now you have a big shift. Now you've got the Pope picking political leaders of countries. Right? The church was kind of under, remember, the Roman and the Greeks and the Jewish persecution of the church, and now you've got a wholesale shift. Now you've got the Roman Catholic Church declaring that they are supra to the national emperors. I'd like to learn about this guy too, but I don't know anything about him. Christians in Egypt are persecuted and forced to wear 5-pound crosses around their necks. All right, Muslims invade Italy and attack Rome. Phoenician schism. The Slavs are converted. Alfred the Great. This is why it's the Dark Ages. Oh, wait, we're in the Middle Ages still? Is it the same thing, I think? Christianity is spreading. All right, Muslims gain control. You've got some abbeys and some different monasteries being founded. Vladimir of Kiev is converted to a form of Christianity. And again, I'm not endorsing any of these definitions, but I'm going to read. Oh, Leif Erikson converts to Christianity. He brings the gospel to Greenland. Nestorians, the great schism between the East and the West. So the East and the West forms of the formal church are continually drifting apart. And if you ever go to Eastern Europe, you will see the tension between the two. So the Normans conquer Britain, Sicily. The Turks conquer Persia. Gregory the VII. Pope Urban II calls for volunteers. Okay, here we go with the crusade number one. These are just like Rocky movies. They just go on and on and on. The first crusade, 70,000 people sign up to go on the crusade. And they slaughter Jews in Germany and pillage villages along their route. They capture Jerusalem. They massacre the Muslims. And they set up a Latin kingdom of Jerusalem. And they build castles and churches. And we think this is romantic from the past. Monasteries, Concord of Worms focuses on the controversy over lay people being involved in the church. Lateran Council. All right, the Knights Templar, Order of Monastic Soldiers, which is where we get the Masons. The Masonic Order comes from the Knights Templar. And then you've got these disputed elections and Innocent wins and stuff that we don't deal with. All right, Second Crusade. So Bernard of Clairvaux was responding to the Muslims' expansion. And we had France, Germany, and Italy involved. The crusade fails. Start the College of Cardinals. Thomas Becket becomes Archbishop of Canterbury. He resigns, and then he is murdered by Knights of Henry. You need to think the British literature and everything that belongs with that. Peter Valdez becomes itinerant, Third Lateran Council. Okay. It says the Waldensians and the Albigensians. These guys do show up in our study. And these guys are really, really quiet, peaceful people. And I'm sure there were some that they claim were heretical. But at the end, these guys are not heretical. They join the Protestants, and they become very, very holy, godly people that are persecuted by the Roman Church. All right, Third Crusade, Richard the Lionheart. and he negotiates access to Jerusalem for Christian pilgrims. Christianity spreads to Finland. Papal authority, Innocent III. So here we see the right of the Pope to oversee the moral conduct of heads of state, to choose rulers. So we have the Fourth Crusade, launched by Pope Innocent III to defeat Egypt. Instead, they turn left and sack Constantinople instead. It was so much closer. 3-day massacre finally draws the line between, because the Romans had sent the Crusaders, and instead the Crusaders end up attacking the Eastern Church. So the Church declares a crusade against the Albigensians, and they do this because the Albigensians are becoming Protestant. Francis of Assisi gives away his wealth. Genghis Khan rises to power, conquers a lot of the trouble areas of today. I'm going to skip this. Thomas Aquinas. So we studied Thomas Aquinas. The foremost theologian of the Roman Catholic Church is Thomas Aquinas. Ask any Catholic, they will give you that answer, if they know anything at all. Thomas Aquinas is the reason that today you have the idea of follow your heart. Follow your heart, because Thomas Aquinas taught that the will of man is fallen, but his mind is not. Therefore, you can find truth inside yourself. You just got to look for it. Right? The Scriptures are there, but you can respond to the Scriptures without the help of God. And this gives rise then, the Renaissance takes hold of this, and the Enlightenment takes hold of this, the godly promotion of humanism. So Thomas Aquinas is going to start it, and you're going to see it lived out. You're going to see it show up shortly in the Renaissance. So the bubonic plague, 33% of the people in Europe, man. All right, John Wycliffe, pre-reformer. He translated the entire Bible, the Wycliffe Bible. We still have the Wycliffe organization, which promotes the translation of the Scriptures into other languages. Great Papal Schism. We have two or three popes at once. That's got to be difficult. So you have the outlawing John Huss of Bohemia. The Council of Constance burns Huss, affirms that councils are superior to the popes. Joan of Arc, 1431. She is held as a French saint as well. Leads a successful military expedition, taken prisoner, tried for witchcraft, and burned. And then in 1456, the verdict is reversed. She must feel so much better. No, it's like this idea that you're a saint. No, you're a sinner. You're a saint. And we're trying this all after you're dead. Never mind, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We're going to keep on judging you until we get it right. Council of Florence affirms the Pope. Beginning of the Renaissance. Okay, here we go. But I'm telling you, the Renaissance started on Thomas Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas is the intellectual foundation that the Renaissance was based on. The Turks capture Constantinople. St. Peter's Basilica begins, 1450s. Gutenberg, Spanish Inquisition, to investigate and punish heretics, its target, Jews, Muslims, and Protestants, just equal opportunity killers. Columbus discovers America, 1492, Ocean Blue. Thousands of Jews are expelled from Spain. Peak of papal corruption, and they're buying and selling all kinds of things. Colonization. So Moscow claims to be the center of Christianity after the fall of Constantinople, which you will hear this. You will hear that if you ever met an Eastern Orthodox, you'll hear that they claim to be the oldest church and the center of Christianity. Michelangelo, the founding of the finishing of St. Basilica. Erasmus, 1500s. Publishes a Greek translation of the New Testament. Oh, there's our guy, Martin Luther. 1517, and then Ulrich Zwingli, German translation, Tyndale, 1500s. Protestantism becomes associated with Lutheranism. I love the word Protestantism because we get to protest. The root is protest. We're against it. Augsburg Confession, adopted by Lutherans. Act of Supremacy, Munster Rebellion, John Calvin's Institutes, explains Protestants. So mid-1500s, Ignatius Loyola. These guys are trouble. These guys are, if you've ever heard of the Black Pope and that whole kind of shadow Catholic, these guys are those guys. We have colleges named after them. These guys are trouble. They vow to evangelize the heathen. Council of Trent, Catholic Counter-Reformation. So this is where, and you're actually going to see this come to fruition in 1962 when the Catholics decide we should now start allowing everyone to hear the Mass in their own language and they should be studying the Scriptures. The Roman Church is going to make a sharp right-hand turn. Book of Common Prayer. Cranmer. Francis Xavier. So, this is Bloody Mary, right? Restores Roman Catholicism. Many Protestants flee to Geneva, Switzerland, where they print the Geneva Bible. John Knox. 1500s are busy time. Elizabeth I. Either that or we just have history. Heidelberg Catechism, bishops. Edict of Nantes grants freedom for French Protestants. The edict is then revoked. We have a lot of forward and then backward. I don't know Matteo Ricci. Arminius, Jacobus. King James Bible, 1611. Synod of Dort responds to the five criticisms of Calvinisms to Arminius's criticisms. So remember the 5 points of Calvinism, which we believe that mean the doctrines of grace. They're really just formal responses to heresies. I'm going to skip things that I don't want to talk about. Galileo, you know you're really famous if you can be identified by one name. That's how you know. Like Prince. Westminster Confession, beginnings of Quaker movement. We have some friends that have relatives that are in the Society of Friends. Not a legitimate Christian movement these days. End of 30 Years' War. Blaise Pascal. Oh, I like Blaise Pascal. If you've never read Pensée, struggle through it. It's worth your time. Waldensians. They break from Roman Catholicism, finally, and embrace Protestantism. And John Milton, Paradise Lost. Pilgrim's Progress, which we studied with the young people over the summer. Edict of Nantes is finally revoked. The First Missionary Society. So we have a whole section of our study on running on the evangels. Not going to spend time on that. First Presbyterian Church in America, of which you are beneficiaries of. Isaac Watts writes 600 hymns. Peter the Great in Russia. Greek Catholic Church. Jonathan Edwards, one of America's greatest preachers and theologians, preaches in Northampton. Struggles with depression, as did John Milton and many other great, great men of God. John and Charles Wesley did their work in England. Oh, yeah, they did go back and forth. And where's Savannah? Savannah is why Atlanta is considered a port city. But you didn't know Atlanta had a port. I'm serious. On the transportation logs, it's a port city. The Great Awakening, So George Whitefield. So we do get to Whitefield, and Whitefield is amazing. No, more people knew the face of George Whitefield than George Washington. Jesuit order gets one suppression. John Newton converts and writes Amazing Grace. I don't remember if I put him on there or not. John Wesley, Francis Asbury to preach. The American Methodist Church becomes an organization. First independent black Baptist is established in America. Sunday school by Robert Raikes. Immanuel Kant. So what you have now is you've got the blooming of the Reformation thought and the blooming of the Renaissance thought that's going to start to mature. And what's going to happen is these worldviews are going to start to collide. And then you've got a crosswind coming from the Muslims. That's what's happening. You've kind of got the Western thought with the religious and the non-religious. And then you've got the Muslims that just run counter to everything. The French Revolution, which republic are the French on, by the way? Which republic are the French on? Nah, keep going. Obviously, we're not French. The French are on their fifth republic. Which republic are we on? The first. Thanks to the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Second Great Awakening. William and Dorothy Carey go to India and do their Protestant mission work. The Methodists separate. Many churches divide on the issue of slavery. And then you've got the growth of the slave trade, which is going to bring about the Civil War. Napoleon Bonaparte reconciles with the new pope. Napoleon makes himself emperor. William Wilberforce, I love that movie if you haven't seen that movie, between Amazing Grace. It's worth your time. Oh, Adoniram Judson, go to Burma. The AME Church is founded by Richard Allen. I had a great time of fellowship last night with a guy working on my car. He goes to a local church called the Father's House. Just a neat time of fellowship. There's other Christians in the world. Don't know those people. Brethren Church grows. All right, Joseph Smith. Joseph Come Lately founded a religion in 1830, Mormonism. High church practices, the Oxford movement. Charles Finney, George Mueller, David Livingston. So now you've got the intellectual and the religious fervor of the Reformation starting to give rise to missionary activity. Soren Kierkegaard, one of the great godless men that promoted the philosophy of the Renaissance. Charles Spurgeon becomes pastor of the largest Baptist congregation in London. So, 1854, they finally get around to saying that Jesus' mother was free from original sin. And I checked this with a Catholic friend of mine 2 weeks ago, and they still believe that. Dwight L. Moody converts, and he gets together with Finney and Ira Sankey and holds revival meetings, and it's kind of the beginning of a revivalist movement in the United States. So, Charles Darwin, The Origin of the Species, late, mid-1800s. Seventh-day Adventist. Where does that sound familiar lately? Dr. Ben Carson is a Seventh-day Adventist. I like him, by the way, but I don't know about that part of it. The Black Baptist and the Episcopal Church, the Colored Episcopal Church, Christian Science and Jehovah's Witnesses founded, both deny Christ's deity. Where have we seen that before? Like, which century haven't we seen that before? Nope. Salvation Army. B.B. Warfield, Princeton theologian. The Five Fundamentals, Evangelical Alliance, Turks Massacred. Did I miss something too quick? I did? Is this it? Oh, did I miss it? Oh, I'm sorry for that. I don't. Well, how could I have skipped over that far back then? Keep going back? Forward? For sake of time, we're going forward, by the way. Moody emphasizes holy dispensationalism.
Moody didn't originate the idea.
No. And there's extremes to everything. And I'll say, by the way, that there is something to be contributed to theological thought by the dispensationalists. They brought some interesting ideas. Now, they extended them way, way too far. We are not dispensationalists. We are doctrines of grace. So this concept went way too far. There's a few things I've learned from that school of thought. Okay, I'm going to finish for sake of time. Pentecostalism, Albert Schweitzer, Scofield Bible, the Scopes Monkey Trials, Billy Sunday, evangelism, Wycliffe Bible translators. So we're getting into time. Diedrich Bonhoeffer, Dead Sea Scrolls, 1948, when the Jewish state was reestablished. World Council of Churches. We will study the World Council of Churches. We will study it by going back to its roots in the voluntary youth movement, the voluntary missionary youth movement. Billy Graham, Scientology, late to the party. Sung Young Moon, Second Vatican Council. So they kind of adopt some more modern approaches. If you can't beat them, join them, I guess, is their thought. C.S. Lewis, MLK, who was, by the way, a minister of the gospel first, before he was a civil rights movement, despite difficulties in his practice. And then you had the Jesus movement, Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul II, and this you know, because this you've lived it, right? All right. I'm sorry for that whirlwind tour. I really want to get to the material we have today, but I'm going to have to leave it for next time, because in next week we have, who's with us next week? Dr. Baker, then the week after that is Josh Mack. And so it'll be a few more weeks before we come back to it. But when we do, if you want to hold on to your handout, it would be great, because we'll go into Clement of Rome and begin our study in the actual people. But I wanted you to have some reminding of where in the world historically these people are. They're not just dangling. They lived. And their days were in some ways very different from ours, and in some ways they were very similar to ours. And the heresies were the same. Some of the way that the godless and the Christians battled it out were different. Also, I will try to send out through Carolyn a sheet that you can use to track the sin and entanglement sheet that we talked about last week. I'd really like to push on that, where I'd like to ask you to fill that out. But I'll do that on a self-explanatory handout through the email system. Okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, again, for these men and women, even though, God, just like Hebrews 11, men full of like passions and sin, Lord, they were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, and I just thank you for the opportunity to look at their lives. I just pray that you would bless this week and this time. May we use it to minister the gospel to our families and to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.